Good evening.
Bonsoir.
I'm Maria von
Hildenstein,
curator of contemporary art at the Curtin Museum of Civilization. We're about to give you a sneak preview of our exhibition ICAIPA, celebrating Inuit art 1948-1970, presented by CANCOM. The Canadian Museum of Civilization, through its exhibition, is celebrating the legendary Inuit creativity in the historic year of the creation of Nunavut Territory. The inactive title ICAIPA means I remember, because this art is about memories. During these two decades, Inuit slowly gave up their nomadic existence and started to live in permanent settlements. In their art, in drawings, prints, and sculptures, they recorded their memories of their former lifestyle, often in loving detail. I've been very lucky to have had James Hinton as a special advisor on this project. We've had lots of fun together. ICAIPA is a celebration of the general culture of contemporary Inuit art.
Et je vais laisser James vous raconter comment tout cela a commencé.
Practically all started with the
terrible. It did start with the and I went into the Arctic by accident. I didn't have a real plan to do that. I was drawing in Paris, thinking about drawing. I didn't too much like the look of Toronto or the Montreal. And I thought, I'll go up north for my father. He never made it to the Arctic. But I started drawing people as soon as I got off this little emergency aircraft, and I drew them and drew them. But all of a sudden, they took their sketchbook away out of my hand and the drawing thing, and they turned and started to make a drawing of me. I thought, what kind of people are these that would use this image of that Toronto or Montreal or New York or Paris or anything? What kind of people are they? So I kept on drawing the next day and the next day, and a man came up to me, I thought, you know, this French fist, I thought this is going to lead to a punch in the nose. But no, he unwrapped his hand like that, and here is this small caribou in it.
Je lui dis, oh mon Dieu, c'est votre grand-père qui a fait cela. C'est un trésor d'il y a longtemps. Je me transmets. C'était un éloignage qui l'avait
fait. Merci, James. Let's continue with our tour.
Continuons notre visite.
The exhibition features 120 sculptures, 29 prints, and 2 wall hangings. All of these are drawn from the museum's collection of 9,000 Inuit art artifacts, with the exception of 19 prints, of course, from your collection. This piece is one that you lent us, and it's family sewing and building a kayak. Can you tell us something about this piece?
Yes, bien sûr. This piece is not a myth, as many carvings represent a myth.
Elle représente une
légende
qui est
différente.
Elle dépeint un événement qui s'est produit de
mémoire d'homme.
Les glaces se refermaient sur les
Nouméaks,
tandis que les hommes pagayaient. Les ont écrasés, et tandis que les Nouméaks coulaient, les occupants ont saisi leurs enfants et ont sauté sur la glace.
C'est de notre
époque. Ils ont récupéré des
morceaux de
terre, mais ils n'ont pas pu s'en servir pour atteindre
no
la terre ferme. Ils dérivaient vers la baie d'Hudson. Alors les hommes sont
allés
pour nourrir les leurs. Ils ont récupéré les os et mangé la chair. Ils se sont mis à construire le kayak.
And they started to make a kayak.
Vous pouvez voir le kayak,
kayak going along here. You can see
là, on voit les femmes en train de coudre très rapidement.
And they're quickly sewing a kayak so
un de ces hommes a placé les enfants à l'avant du kayak.
À l'intérieur,
une femme est étendue à l'arrière. Et les amener à travers les glaces qui les auraient certainement tués jusqu'à la rive. Il a refait ce trajet plusieurs fois. Il les a tous sauvés. C'est une histoire merveilleuse. Ici, on peut voir les os de morses qui ont servi à construire le kayak.
Thank you, James. Merci,
James.
Another example of the amazing Inuit
art.
The exhibition is organized by region. We're now coming to the Basque region, home of Kip Dorsett, where you lived, of course, for 9 years. I understand that these traditional sealskin designs done by Inuit seamstresses eventually led to the idea of stencil prints. Can you tell us more about that?
It was their practice to take a piece of sealskin, which is dark on one side, on the hair side, and light on the underside.
Les women used to cut out these images with the edge of an ulu
and sew them onto the opposite side. Well, I saw a woman not doing it, but she had the results on a bag she had. I said, what's that? She rabbit eating seaweed.
Elle m'a répondu, un lapin qui mange du barrette.
She said, see, I'll show you. She brought the piece of stencil out where she had taken the image.
Et j'ai réalisé qu'on pouvait forcer de l'encre à travers cela et imprimer en quelque sorte ces images sur une feuille de papier. Nous avons essayé. Avec de la peau de stock. Mais ça n'a pas très bien marché. Nous avons inventé une façon de cirer une feuille de papier. Et c'est la technique que l'on utilise encore de nos jours.
Another beautiful piece from your collection is this wall that I showed in Italy. What's the story behind this one?
First of all, he's one of the greatest carvers I think ever existed. And you can sort of see the force of life driving right out of the stone, not in some dramatic way where somebody's flinging their arms around, but just quiet, reposed, strength and meaning coming out of the middle of the stone. And it's made that gorgeous green steatite that was such a treasure for Dorset to have used for a long time. Still do.
Il l'utilise encore là-bas.
So,
in the end, when I was going to leave Dorset, which was one of the most difficult things I ever did, he gave me a rifle.
And I'm sure it's one of those pieces that every visitor of the exhibition would like to take home to
possibly.
Among the donations which we have received recently is the snarled tongue, a David in Italy from Kinnerhut. It is full of engravings with a commentary in Slavic telling us what the stories are about. For the Kiwetu area, James, you lent us this marvelous piece by Andy Munger about a dream.
Elle représente un rêve.
Can
you tell us more?
Oui, bien sûr.
This fellow, Andy Munger, got the new name Andy Munger. He has done this carving because of a dream that is so...
C'est très typique des Inuits de réagir à ce qu'ils ont vu dans un rêve.
Here he dreamt that a woman lost the flame of her lamp. A serious thing, because it's not easy to
remake a flame at that time.
So she was in terrible trouble. She put down the lamp as a shamanistic figure with an owl on the top of her head. It's quite a common thing.
Ce n'est pas étonnant parce que le hibou représente une entité magique, comme la belette.
So, he shows three dreams, a progression of the lamp.
J'ai toujours aimé la force circulaire et la simplicité de la sculpture inuite.
En effet, ça makes you wonder how often we do not get to hear the stories parce que personne ne l'a pour entendre.
Je suis heureuse que nous connaissions maintenant l'histoire de celle-ci.
the exhibition has some access to certain features. We have left two copies without a cover. One of them is a tic-tac head emerging from stone. Do you remember meeting tic-tac?
I certainly did. Tic-tac is a wonderful man. Look,
qui ressemblait d'ailleurs à ces sculptures. Quand vous avez vu plusieurs de ses œuvres, et si vous aviez eu la chance de le connaître ou de le voir en photo, vous comprendriez ce que je veux dire. C'était un homme massif, tout comme ceci. Un sculpteur extraordinaire. Il a sculpté de multiples têtes dans la pierre, tout du même côté. Ce sont pratiquement des images semblables. Des œuvres semblables ont été réalisées il y a très longtemps, de la même façon. Et nous ignorons encore aujourd'hui, peut-être pour toujours, ce qui a poussé ces gens à l'époque à sculpter ces images dans la pierre. Et peut-être aussi ce qui a poussé Tic-Tac à sculpter toutes ces têtes. C'est très différent de toutes les autres sculptures. Et ça dégage un effet merveilleux.
Well, I hope you have what everybody has done for this very special exhibition. The exhibition will be in the museum until January 2000.
J'espère vous y rencontrer.
Thank you.